All right. Well, good morning and happy Mother's Day to you. I'll extend that along with other folks who have this morning, and happy Mother's Day to my mom. Happy Mother's Day, Mom. And some of you know this, some of you don't. My brother, I have a brother and a sister, and my brother is a pastor and my sister is married to a pastor. So on any given Sunday, me, my brother, and my brother-in-law are probably preaching at the same time. And my mom and dad live with my brother. So I know I'm her favorite. But every Sunday, Mom, I know you have to sit and listen to Andy's preaching, and that's hard. So pray for my mom as she tunes in and enjoys her favorite son's sermon. Happy Mother's Day, and I hope it's a great day for you. There's complexities with Mother's Day, I know that, for many of us, but blessings to the moms, blessing to my wife, Jolynn, as a mom. And she was here first service. And Jolynn and I have been together a long time. She's heard a lot of preaching and teaching from Matt Fry, bless her heart. And so she's, in some ways, my best critic, right? Husband, don't you feel that way in your wife's criticism, right? She's, many times your wife's your best critic. And I feel that when it comes to my preaching. And I started this series on God Speaks a couple weeks ago. And very often when I come home, she'll tell me at lunch, you know, sermon, this and that. And I value what she says to me. And she didn't say anything Sunday. And that makes me nervous, right? Because then you're like, then the shame and guilt starts in me, like she hated it. I said something wrong, or, you know, I embarrassed myself or embarrassed her. And so then when all Sunday, you know, I'm waiting for her to say something about it. I really enjoyed the sermon. Nothing the entire day. And didn't say anything. So wake up Monday, I'm struggling with this. And Monday, finally she gives me input on the sermon and says, it was okay. Yeah, I know. It's like, wow. I get that sometimes. I understand. But here's why she said it was okay, and this made me feel a little bit better. She said, Matt, she said, I hated all the jumping around, like in the Bible, like verse after verse after verse. And if you come to Keystone, you know our rhythm is kind of in a book of the Bible. So you open your Bible and you settle down, right? It's like we're there. And so I was relieved to find out what she didn't like about the sermon was not me. That happens sometimes. But what she didn't like was just all the jumping around. So, to honor her on Mother's Day, this is for you, JoJo, to honor her, and you, if you don't like the jumping around, is we're gonna settle down into a story today, a text. So, hopefully you have your Bible. If you do, open it to 1 Kings chapter 12. We're gonna settle into this text today as we consider God speaks through other people. So, this is her Mother's Day gift, one text, a story. It'll be on the screen, but I hope you open your Bible. If you don't have a Bible, stop at the welcome space and we'll give a Bible to you. Seriously, glad we have the screen up there, but the screen is not the Bible. It's to help people who are new and don't have a Bible. If you've been around for any amount of time and you don't have a Bible, stop back there. We'll get you a Bible. You need a Bible. So 1 Kings chapter 12, as you go there, let me give you a little history that gets us to where we're at in 1 Kings 12, okay? It's the beginning of... Well, not yet, but think about the beginning of Israel's monarchy in the Old Testament, okay? So who are the kings that we start with in the story of Israel in the Old Testament? Many of us know these names. We go from Saul to David to Solomon, right? You know that? If you're a student of the Bible at all, those names might be familiar to you. Saul, David, then David's son, Solomon, are three kings over Israel. Our story in 1 Kings 12 begins at the end of Solomon's reign, okay? So we're at the end of his reign. He dies. And now we pick up with two kings you may never have heard of, or maybe you have, Jeroboam and Rehoboam. Nothing says Mother's Day sermon like Jeroboam and Rehoboam, but that's where we're at. So in 1 Kings 12, here's what happens. The kingdom divides. So it was Israel, now the kingdom divides. And the northern kingdom, the 10 tribes of Israel, they follow Jeroboam, eventually out of 1 Kings 12. While Judah, in the southern kingdom, two tribes follow Rehoboam. So the kingdom splits apart, it divides. It's a mess. It's a mess. And this, our guy Rehoboam, here's what I want you to hear. He misses God's voice in good advice. Rehoboam, this king, he misses God's voice in good advice. In 1 Kings 12, 1 through 19, Rehoboam needs good advice. Let me read this. 1 Kings 12, I want to read 1 through 17. Then 1 Kings 12. Then Rehoboam went to Shechem, for all Israel had gone to Shechem to make him king. When Jeroboam, son of Nebat, heard about it, he stayed in Egypt, where he had fled from King Solomon's presence. Jeroboam stayed in Egypt, but they summoned him. Jeroboam and the whole assembly of Israel came and spoke to Rehoboam. Your father made our yoke harsh. You therefore lighten your father's harsh service and the heavy yoke he put on us, and we will serve you. Rehoboam replied, go away for 3 days and then return to me. So the people left. Then King Rehoboam consulted with the elders who had served his father Solomon when he was alive, asking, how do you advise me to respond to this people? They replied, today if you will be a servant to this people and serve them, and if you respond to them by speaking kind words to them, they will be your servants forever. But he rejected the advice of the elders who had advised him and consulted with the young men who had grown up with him and attended him. He asked them, what message do you advise that we send back to the people who said to me, lighten the yoke of your father that your father put on us? Then the young men who had grown up with him told him, this is what you should say to the people who said to you, your father made our yoke heavy, but you make it lighter on us. This is what you should tell them. My little finger is thicker than my father's waist. It's interesting. I'm going to make this worse than your dad did. My translation. Although my father burdened you with a heavy yoke, I will add to your yoke. My father disciplined you with whips. I will discipline you with barbed whips. Wow. So Jeroboam and all the people came to Rehoboam on the third day, as the king had ordered, return to me on the third day. Then the king answered the people harshly. He answered them harshly. He rejected the advice that the elders had given him, and he spoke to them according to the young men's advice. My father made your yoke heavy. I will add to your yoke. My father disciplined you with whips. I will discipline you with barbed whips. The king did not listen to the people because this turn of events came from the Lord to carry out his word, which the Lord had spoken through Ahijah, the Shilonite, to Jeroboam, son of Nebat. When all Israel saw the king had not listened to them, the people answered him, what portion do we have with David? We have no inheritance in the son of Jesse. Israel, return to your tents. David, now look after your own house. So Israel went to their tents, but Rehoboam reigned over the Israelites living in the cities of Judah. Kingdom splits. Rehoboam needed good advice, didn't he? Everybody needs good advice. It's Mother's Day. Your mom, some of you here, your mom's like the best advisor you have. I love my mom, right? Gives me good advice. Think about that on Mother's Day. Everybody needs good advice. People in this building, people outside this building, people who never come to church, everybody needs good advice. Let's talk about that for a minute from this text. I have 5 points in my sermon. I know you're like, Fry, I gotta get my mom to the buffet. I know, we'll get there. Hang in, pray for me, we can do it. 5 points. Everyone, here's where we start. Everybody needs good advice. This is your neighbor that never comes to church, doesn't know Jesus. This is you if you do know Jesus. Everybody needs good advice. They need good advice when things change, right? That's when I need advice, when things change. What changed in this story? Well, in verse 1, Rehoboam's going to be made king. Everybody's gathering at Shechem, which is this ancient city, and it's a religious center. It's like, let's make Rehoboam king. Here's when I need good advice. When change happens. When things change. Everybody needs advice then. Me, my neighbor, everybody. Change happens, doesn't it? It happens in the expected and the unexpected. I mean, Rehoboam's the son of a king. So at one level, sons of kings, what happens to them when dad dies? They become king, right? That's expected. But as you heard in the story, there's a lot going on. So change happens in expected and unexpected ways. So, hey, what's changing in your life right now? If I took you to Smoky Row or Main Street, whatever one you like, we had coffee, and I said, so tell me what's changing in your life. What would be on that list? What's changing? I bet you need good advice in some things in your life right now. Change. Everybody needs good advice when things change. When there's a challenge, that's number two. See, we're already 2 points down. We can do this. When there's a challenge, what's the challenge here? If you were listening when I read the text, it said this guy Jeroboam came with the whole assembly in verse 3. They challenged Rehoboam. See that? Who is Jeroboam? Well, At this point, he's a respected royal official. He's a guy everybody trusts. Like, you got a Jeroboam in your life? Like, I'm bringing him to the meeting. That's what the people did with Jeroboam. Sadly, later in chapter 12, you can read this later on, verse 25 and following, he actually becomes the king of Israel, as I said, the northern kingdom, when everything splits, and he actually has some bad advice problems of his own, that he takes bad advice. That's later on. Right now, at this point in the story, everybody trusts Jeroboam. So they say, Jeroboam, come up from Egypt because Solomon was going to kill you. Come up with us. Go to Rehoboam. So we got some challenges we want to lay out to him. What was the challenge? You see that? Verse 4. They come to Rehoboam and they say, hey, don't be as harsh as your dad was. His yoke on us was heavy. And if you lighten up, we'll serve you. It's interesting, as we read that, there's a lot of language there that's like Israel and Egypt language. Remember that series we did just recently on Exodus? And Israel is under bondage in Egypt. There's a lot of that same language here. In some ways, they're saying, hey, Rehoboam, stop treating us like we're slaves in Egypt. Lighten up. Your dad was harsh. And listen, if you take it easy on us, easier, we'll serve you. And Solomon, man, wise, right? If you know your Bible, Solomon, wise king. But man, at the end, things really got off the rails with him. He did not do a good job. And so that bad taste is in the mouth of the people. And they're like, all right, it's a new day. So here's a challenge, man. We'll follow you if you're not such a jerk. So, man, everybody needs advice when challenges come, right? Challenges come with people and problems, don't they? You got people in your life like, Rehoboam's like, oh, you brought Jeroboam. I can't stand that guy. You got a Jeroboam in your life? Like, I got to deal with Jeroboam. That's the challenge that our guy Rehoboam has. Challenges come, don't they, with problems and people, and you need advice. What's challenging in your life right now? Everybody needs advice. I thought about seasons in my life where I needed good advice, and one of the seasons I was thinking of is when your kids learn to drive, families, parents, kids, right? Some of you are in that right now, right? Some of you kids are like, yes, that's me. Freedom, right? I can drive. And mom and dad, if that's you, you're like, God help me, right? Like, how is this gonna go down? And you need advice as a parent when your kids learn to drive. I mean, all along the way, just, you know, parents that have little kids, it gets worse, harder. It gets harder, right? I mean, it's, you know, I thought about this and like, when kids drive, it's like, how much car time are they gonna have? Like you don't own the car, man. That's my car. And so you gotta figure that out. Should I buy you a new car? Some of you are in that, right? You're like I that never dawned on me. Like someday I gotta buy this kid a car. How did I get into that deal, right? Like, I don't have money for that. I don't have money to buy you a car. Well, my friend's parents bought him a car. I don't care about your friend's parents. I'm not buying you a car. Or maybe I am, right? Is that a good idea? I don't know. I need advice. Insurance and gas, right? Like, is he paying the insurance or am I paying the insurance? And gas, like, nobody's driving, right? Because nobody can afford gas. But I remember those battles. Like, you need advice. Like, I go to somebody older, like, how did you handle this with your kid? And girlfriends and boyfriends. You know, it's not so bad with my daughter, but I remember my son, like, hey, I'm taking, what's this girl to, we're going out. No, you're not going out in a car, my car. It's my car, and you're not going to be alone in my car with a girl. I'm going with you. It's like, Dad, that is not going to work, right? Well, it's going to work because that's not happening, right? So, but listen, you don't have to come to Keystone to need that advice, right? Everybody, every parent needs that advice. And that's just one example. So Rehoboam needed good advice. Everyone needs good advice. Good advice for the changes and the challenges in life that come from a lot of places. So we get it from Facebook friends to real friends, from gurus to grandma or your grandma who is a guru, from therapists to TED Talks, from the internet to your inner voice, right? A lot of advice out there. Rehoboam needed good advice. Everybody needs good advice, but hard left here. Rehoboam needed to hear God's voice in this. I mean, there's a lot at stake in what's going on here. You can read that in the story, right? What he decides to do carries weight to it. He needed to hear the voice of God, and so do we. If you know and follow Jesus, it's not just good advice you're after. You want to hear God's voice. God's voice is a lot more than just good advice, but it's not less than that. And when you need to fix plumbing, you go to a faster than 8 o'clock. Good job. If you need electrical help, you go to a electrician. You're like, this isn't hard. If you need help in your Christian life, you go to a Christian. Right? You should. I should, because there's a lot more at stake than a leaky toilet or a socket that's blown out. When you give me advice, spiritual family, brothers and sisters, when I give you advice, I'm listening for the voice of God, not just how to fix the toilet. So, what about God's voice and good advice? Here's the question. How do we hear God's voice and good advice? That's the question I want to ask us today. How do we hear God's voice and good advice? We're spiritual family. I think this phrase, this statement's on the board. Here's a vision for us, Keystone. Listen to this. Oh, that we would be a community where the Spirit of God, through the Word of God, does a work of God in the people of God. Man, I want to go to that church. A church where, and we talked about two of these in this series already, the Spirit of God through the Word of God. That's primarily the foundation of how we hear God's voice, right? But I want to be in a community where that does a work of God and the people of God, because we're constantly with each other giving good advice that's really hearing the voice of God. It's not just good advice. There's more at stake than my leaky toilet in my life. I need to hear God's voice when you advise me about my life in Jesus. I need to hear the voice of God. Man, our church should be full of people saying stuff like this. Well, what does God's word say? When's the last time you said that to a friend at Keystone? What? They asked for your advice. Hey, instead of like, well, I think this and I think, hey, what does God's word say? Have you prayed about that? Is that how we talk, Keystone family? Because, man, it's not just good advice. God's voice is more than good advice, but it's certainly not less than good advice. If you know and follow Jesus, when you give good advice, it's not just good advice, it's God's voice. So, turning the corner here, second part of the sermon is then, I don't just need good advice because everybody does. I need to hear God's voice. What does that look like? Back to the text. Third thing, who do I consult? Who do I consult? So in verses 6 through 11, we read there, right? Rehoboam's got the change and the challenge. Got to get some advice. Got to hear the voice of God. Who am I going to talk to about this? Three ways that he handles that. Did you see? He deliberated. That's a good idea. Said verse 5. He told them, go away for 3 days and then return to me. I need to think about this. That's good advice, right? Like, that's a good way to handle it when you need to get good advice and hear God's voice. You're grounded. You ever say that to your kids? Like, you're just mad off the cuff, and then you're like, I just grounded my kid for 2 weeks, and there's no way I'm going to enforce that. It's like, ugh, I should have stepped back and be like, let me deliberate for 3 days. Not 3 days, but you know what I'm saying. Like, I don't want to just blurt it out, right? So Rehoboam, I'm tracking with you, man. Go away for 3 days. I'm going to think about this. Then he talks to the elders. Yes, the old people. Talk to us old people. Listen to the old people, okay? Talks to the elders, and what did the elders advise him? Verse 6, be nice. You want to win the people back? Respond with kindness. Who do I consult? He consulted the elders. But then notice in 8 through 11, he also consulted his boys, his homies, the guys he grew up with. What did they say? Make it worse, man. Your dad hit him with whips, hit him with barbed whips. Wow. We know who Rehoboam consulted. What about you? Who do you consult? When you need to hear the voice of God and good advice, who do you consult? Because let me tell you something. God's word takes friendship seriously. You know that? I'm going to show you a verse. And this isn't like personal. This is like big picture. Look what James says, James 4:4. Friendship with the world is hostility toward God. One translation says, friendship with the world makes you an enemy of God. Friends, listen to me. There is a friendship you have that God hates. He looks at that friendship and he says, I hate that friendship. So who are you consulting? Who are your people? There's a friendship that's hostile to God. That's an enemy of God. That's sobering, isn't it? Listen, I don't have all the answers for myself, and I don't have all the answers for you when it comes to who you consult, but a couple things. A lot of us, we have friends who tell me what I want to hear, and that's for me. Is that you? You got a lot of friends who are like, they tell you what you want to hear. I love them because they've always known me. They understand how I'm wired. You know what that's code for? It's people who tell me what I want to hear. I got people like that. And listen, there's nothing wrong with having friends who tell you what you want. Sometimes you need someone to come alongside you and say, you need a hug, man. You can do this. You need those people. I got those people. But is that all you have in your friendships? Is people who just tell you what you want to hear? Man, how about Rehoboam, our guy in 8? He rejected the advice of the elders who had advised him, and he consulted with the young men who had grown up with him. I'm your boy. This is what you should do. Think about that story. Which is harder, being the elder or being the young guy? Because he's the king, right? And what kind of, if he doesn't like what you say, it's like, old man, off with your head, right? It's tough being the elder in a friendship, isn't it? Like, hey, you know what? I think you should change. I don't think you should do that. It's easy being the young guy, right? Like, oh, dude, let's keep partying. It was whips with your dad. Let's make it barbed whips. Yeah, let's do it. Which is harder? Man, it's harder being the elder in a friendship. You got elders in a friendship, people you can trust, people who tell me just what I want to hear. It's for me. It's tough to be the elder using this situation. It's easy to be the guys you grew up with. What we need then is friends who tell me what I need to hear. That's what I need more of in my life. People tell me what I need to hear from God. You know, this verse, Proverbs 27:6, the wounds of a friend are trustworthy, but the kisses of an enemy are excessive. Man, beware of excessive kissing. That's my excessive kissing noise. Beware of that. Beware of the so-called friend who is in your business just, you're the best, you got this. And listen, again, there's nothing wrong with people who are for you. But if all you got are people who tell you what you want to hear, you need some people who tell you what you need to hear. I need some people in my life who tell me what I need to hear. Here's some keystone language for you. Guy-girl split. How many of you know what that means? Guy-girl split. Hands all over the place. Some of you are like, what is that, right? Is that some kind of cheerleading move? No, it's not. It's not. In Keystone, in a Keystone Connection group, a guy-girl split is what happens several times a month, a year, is during your group time, the women go to one part of the house and the men go to one part of the house. Guy-girl split. And the women talk about things that they need to talk about. They hear things they need to hear from each other. And the guys go and they talk about things they need to hear from each other. And it gets open and honest. And some of you are like, that sounds terrifying. It is, in the best way possible. Because you know what happens in those guy-girl splits? You have people who don't just tell you what you want to hear. You got this. You're the best. Again, that's okay. But in those guy-girl splits, I have men who are saying, hey, really, what does God say about this? Have you prayed about that? Who you consulting? Some of us, man, we need friends in our lives who tell us what we need to hear. We need diagnostic friends. You got diagnostic friends? A couple weeks ago, I went for my physical. That's never a great experience, right? Like they poke and prod. You got to put the gown on. I did. I mean, is that a thing for everybody? That gown doesn't fit. No one should have to wear that. I'm like, doc, I feel fine. Can we just talk about it? No, we can't talk about it. Put the gown on. I'm gonna poke and prod. I'm gonna draw blood. I'm gonna get inside you and figure out if you're okay. You got friends like that? You got friends in your life who will poke and prod? You got diagnostic friends, or you just got people that, Who do I consult? Real quick, let me make two other observations that are kind of outside this, but I think they're important because we're talking about God speaking through others. Let's talk about How does God speak through? Here's two more influences. How about your inner voice? How about your self-talk? 2 Corinthians 10:5. We demolish arguments and every proud thing that is raised up against the knowledge of God, and we take every thought captive to obey Christ. In the context, the writer there isn't talking about our thoughts. He's talking about the thoughts of others that come against us. But sometimes the thing that comes against us is the thoughts that are in our heads. One writer says this, I like this. This is a prayer for you and me every day. Anything in my thinking that needs to be destroyed, destroy it. There's a prayer to pray. Some of you need to pray that prayer tomorrow morning when you get up. God, anything in my thinking that needs to be destroyed, destroy it. You know what God will do? He'll start messing with your inner voice. He'll start playing with your self-talk. Because listen, in the good advice that comes from our inner voice or the friends that we consult, we need to hear the voice of God. While we're at it, let's talk about virtual influence. Listen to me, if you don't understand how technology affects the influence that we are subjected to, you're not reading the data. If you don't understand how struggle with identity and technology are working together, you're not reading the data. And when I say the data, I don't mean like Christian magazine. I mean like New York Times stuff. I mean people out there who don't love Jesus, they're looking at the culture and saying, technology is killing us. I'm preaching to the choir, I know. But if you don't see that, you're just not reading the data, because there is overwhelming brokenness. And we have more help than ever, but there is more mental illness, depression, et cetera, than ever. And it's not all technology, but if you don't see that technology is influencing that, you're just not paying attention. Andy Crouch says this. I think I have parts of this on the screen. What social media gives me is not just the sense that there are people that I'm seeing and who are seeing me. But he writes, it's such a fine-grained feedback. I got 233 likes on that post, or 2,300 likes. He asks the question, whenever have human beings been able to count and number their influence on other people? That is tremendously intoxicating. It's rewarding and satisfying in a way that actual social life is not. It initially feels very powerful, but eventually it undercuts the genuine growth of personhood that would actually make us worth knowing and loving in the first place. And I'm not trying to yell at us, but that's true. So virtual influence, how is it affecting you? How is it who you're consulting? I got a picture. That's a style. And it's in an undisclosed location in Northeast Iowa where I like to fish. I'm not telling you where, because I'd have to kill you. We don't have these in Pennsylvania. Pennsylvania's awesome, but we don't have these. And what this is that where I fish there, what I'm not gonna tell you, is on a farmer's property. And the little sign is great. It says, welcome fishermen, fabulous. But if you've ever crawled over a barbed wire fence, you know that gets, at my age especially, it gets hard, right? That style takes you up over the fence. They got them everywhere. And so the landowner and the DNR have kind of worked out an arrangement where you can get on this property and fish. I love it so much I took a picture of it. Who gets over your fence? Who gets in? And listen, once I get in there, I can fish. I can't like build a house. So who's camping out? God speaks through others. So who has access with advice to your protected place? Because some of us, man, we need to rip down some stiles. Because the fence of your mind is filled with places where people have access to things that should be protected. And some of us, we need to build some stiles and let some people in. Who do you consult? The voice of God and the good advice of others is cultivated in the context of diagnostic friends who tell you not just what you want to hear, but more importantly, what you need to hear. I got to hurry. What are my choices? We all know what Rehoboam's choice is. It's the advice he acted on, right? It says there in 12 to 15, he spoke to them according to the young men. I'm going to make it miserable on you. That was his choice. I'm going with my buddies. God's voice and good advice means making choices puts us in motion. We talked about that last week. You know where God meets you? In motion. This is what I'm doing. God meets us in that. And some of you, your problem is you're making choices, but you're paralyzed by taking, or you're consulting, but you're paralyzed to make a choice. For good or for bad, you make that choice. It puts it in motion. And when Rehoboam makes the choice to go with the advice of the young men, it puts in motion a whole bunch of things. And so it is with us, for good or for bad. What are the choices you're making based on who you consult? God's voice and good advice means making the choices that put us in motion. Some of you need to get in motion. Joshua 24:15. But if it doesn't please you to worship the Lord, choose for yourselves today. Just make a choice. Who are you going to worship? The gods your fathers worship beyond the Euphrates River, the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. As for me and my family, we're going to worship the Lord. We made a choice. So make choices, live with consequences. What are my consequences? Last thing. What are my consequences? What's my plan? We know what Rehoboam's plan is, don't we? We know his plan. Here's my plan. It's going to get harder on you. Okay, if that's your choice, man, there's consequences come with that, right? And it blows up the kingdom. What are the consequences? And man, if you've been sleeping, wake up, because you got to hear this. When there's consequences with my plan and God's plan, you understand? When we make a choice, I have a plan, God has a plan. Which plan you think matters more? God's plan. It was as easy as the plumbing question. God's plan. My plan, God's plan. God always has a plan. And here's the thing about God's plan. The consequences of my plan are folded into the inscrutable plan of God. Get ready to get your mind blown. Verse 15. Listen to what it says. The king, Rehoboam, did not listen to the people. Why? Because this turning of events, look at this, it came from the Lord to carry out his word. You see what that says? Behind Rehoboam's plan to take bad advice was God orchestrating the whole thing so that he can accomplish his will. And you're like, I don't think I like that. Well, I don't know that I like it either. But I'm telling you, God has a sovereign plan. It's inscrutable sometimes. And he's at work. And your plan, Matt Fry's plan, is folded into that reality. Remember Exodus? God hardened Pharaoh's heart. Pharaoh hardened his own heart. Which was it? Yes. Because I have a plan and God has a plan. One writer says about this, God's judgment is at work, but it doesn't excuse Rehoboam. He is culpably stiff-necked to the point of rupturing the kingdom. So man, here's two consequential truths that run like a parallel railroad through the Bible. God has a sovereign plan, and I am accountable and responsible for my actions. So when there's consequences, there's my plan and there's God's plan. And God's will be done. Notice what James says. Anything we face in life, this is what we should say. If the Lord wills, I will live and do this or that. Consequences of my choices are within the unstoppable plan of God, and I am accountable, responsible in the decisions I face, the choices I make, and living with the consequences. So everyone needs good advice in the changes and challenges of life. And if you know and follow Jesus, there's a lot more at stake because God speaks through others. It's the voice of God and the good advice from friends and influences. So who are you this morning as you hear that? There's some of you here, here's what you need to know, that God speaks. Some of you are here and you're like, I never even thought about God speaking. I need good advice. But you never even thought about the fact that God actually speaks. You don't know Jesus. Here's the thing, God tells us in his word, he spoke long ago, different times, different ways, but now he has spoken to us through his son. The Bible says, whoever has the son has life. So to hear the voice of God, if you don't know him, is to come to the son, come to Jesus. That's where life is because of what he's done for us on the cross. So some of you here today, you need to know this. God speaks. Come to the Son. Some of us, we need to know that God speaks through us to others. That's the other side of this sermon. I've talked all of us about who is influencing us. How about you? Who are you influencing? I wonder today, who consults you? And what kind of advice are you giving them? And how is God using you so that others can hear his voice? Some of us need to remember that God speaks through us to others. Finally, as we've seen in this story, God speaks to us through others. So who do you consult in the changes and the challenges of life? God speaks through others. Man, may Keystone Church be a spiritual family where the Spirit of God through the Word of God does a work of God in the people of God. Let's pray. God in heaven, we thank you for revealing yourself to us through your word. And speaking out of that through others. And it's helpful for us to see how this unfolds practically. So Lord, there's for those here today who they need to know you speak, it starts in your son Jesus. And so I pray through the power of your spirit, you would reveal yourself to them through Christ. That you speak. And that God, that would be a reality for those who don't know you. Lord, may they see and know that truth. Lord, there's some of us here, and in the challenges and changes of life, we're spiritual family, but man, we have not consulted the right people. So God, I pray, help us to take some inventory, to build some diagnostic friends in our lives. Lord, who can lead us toward an understanding of what it means to be people who through the word of the God and spirit of God do a work of God. Lord, to that end, we praise you and we thank you in Christ's name.